This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
All right, fellas, it's time for the MGO Blog Roundtable here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTK.com. Sam Webb is down at the NBA Top 100 camp down in Charlottesville, Virginia, hanging out with Tim McCormick, who runs the camp. And later on today, at his first recruiting event, Juwan Howard will be out there as well. So it's pretty exciting for Sam as he's going to get reaction to Juwan and talk to some of the kids that are down there. And we'll bring that back to you maybe some tomorrow, but of course more next week when Sam returns from Charlottesville. We'll bring that to you here on the show. That being said, we say good morning to the fellas. The crew is here on the phone in Hawaii. Craig Ross. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. You're going to find a way to get to Omaha, come back and come back stateside.
Come on, Craig. You can do it.
The Continental. And
you can do it.
Dude, the climates are exactly the same, aren't they?
It's a one.
No, they're not the same. But the no, I'm not doing it. But you know, I've thought about it. And have you? Has any of you guys been to Omaha for the College World Series?
Not for the College World Series.
I will say yes after Saturday.
Nice.
Okay. I know a lot of people who have, and they really have enjoyed it. Think it's a great event, but I've never done it.
Yeah, I have not been. I've been to Omaha. I'm through it a couple times, but I've never been. But I will go. My wife and I are going for the game on Saturday, just for the one game because schedules don't allow for more. So I'm really looking forward to going down there for the entire experience and, of course, to cheer on the Wolverines and hopefully get a win over Texas Tech. Brian Cook is here as well from MGO Blog. Good morning, Brian.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Jim Harbaugh has said at press conferences, you ask one your yes no questions or one word type response questions, you're going to get one word type response answers. So Brian gave the proper answer. How are you? Good is a very appropriate. I could have said and why, and then I would have expected more, but all I said is how are you. He said good.
This
and
the other guy is introduction portion of the show where we quickly say things and then move on.
Yeah, and then Ed Fang from the Power Rank is here.
But
as
if you
well.
Don't want to move on, we cannot move on. We can keep doing the introduction of me. If you want to keep doing that.
How's the family, Brian?
No, it's good.
Ed, the Power Rank, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for asking, Ira.
I love the dynamic. We've been talking a lot this morning about chemistry. We did it with the top dog of the week, where if you bring a dog into your home and you have a dog, like how do they get along? We were talking about putting a basketball coaching staff together where you bring guys, you know, Martelli, Isley, and Sadi coming from different places. And Juwan, for that matter, may not have long histories with any of them, although I think he does with Isley in particular. But you have to create the chemistry. And we have done that. We have created this wonderful chemistry here for the MGO Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider. And today we are going to, our first topic of conversation is something that I don't know if has ever been the first topic of conversation here on the show.
Wait, have we ever talked baseball on the show?
I mean, maybe once, in the round table? Briefly? Maybe briefly in passing.
I just want to say I know which one of us is Martelli.
Which one's Martelli?
Craig's obviously Martelli.
Craig is obviously, just because. Because he's old.
He's the veteran of the group.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Can you do a thick Philadelphia accent, Craig?
No,
he's the sophisticated, been through all of life.
I admit I look a lot like Martelli.
You do not look like Phil Martelli at all. You have way more hair, and there's a few other differences.
Do I get to be Isley because I'm the best athlete of the group? Is that...
Sure.
I don't know what Saudi's background as a player is.
Saudi's a pretty good athlete, too.
What does being the best athlete of this group really mean? It means that you have all your limbs.
It means I can walk?
Yeah, this group, that's not, you might be, but that's not saying a whole lot.
Well, I don't know, I'm just saying. So that makes Brian Saudi.
6-year-olds?
I guess. Sam would be Juwan, and that's just really funny because there's like a foot and a half difference right there. And I can make that joke because it's the same for me. But, So let's talk a little Michigan baseball. You guys getting the baseball fever?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun watching this team. I didn't stay up late for the... No, I stayed up for the Friday night game. I was watching the NBA Finals game and stayed up for Friday. But yeah, I think it's incredibly exciting. And it's it's an opportunity for me to see, you know, if there's some analytics on college baseball out there. And there actually are. And we can get into that in a little bit. But The College Baseball World Series is a really exciting event. Double elimination tournament. I really indulged like 15 years ago when Rice and Stanford were both good. When Rice won in 2003 is still one of the best sporting moments of my life. That's where I went to undergrad. So, yeah, just a great event. I think it's exciting for everyone. A good shot in the arm in June.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to have something Michigan athletics fun to talk about in June. Brian, have you watched some of the games, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I watched the games. I felt bad for you guys.
With the turnaround?
They all start at like 9 p.m.
Sunday into Monday this week was rougher than even last night at Seeger into today. It was a very short turnaround Sunday to Monday, but it was worth it because Sunday night was awesome.
Because Sam's like tweeting out at like 1 in the morning, and I'm like, you have to be up and basically now.
Basically.
So, yeah, you guys
but trooper. Sam doesn't sleep.
No, Sam kind of is used to this. I came in on Monday, and I looked at Sam, and I go, I now know how you feel on a regular basis. And this is like once in a while that it does. It happens to be twice in 1 week for me, but it's rare.
Sam must be very accustomed to taking luxurious naps.
He definitely got in a nap on Monday. I came back from recording a Coach Harbaugh's podcast. I came back and someone asked us a question and I could kind of see a pep in his step. And I'm like, you got a nap in, didn't you? He has a futon in his office for a reason. Yeah. He has a sign on his door that he could, one side it says sleeping and the other side says not sleeping. So when so if he's in there and people want to knock on the door, they know if they can or they can't. So
yeah.
And I know, Craig, you've been watching the games because, well, one, the time zones work well for you. And second of all, I've seen you at Michigan baseball games, so I know you've been following the team all year long. When you aren't at softball, you try to sneak in and catch some of the baseball games.
Yeah, no, I have season tickets to both sports and have for years. And even though it drives me crazy that they schedule the games over on top of each other very often. But Michigan baseball has been a lot of fun to watch this year. I watched every inning of the three games against UCLA. And after the first game, I thought Michigan had a legit shot because UCLA's starting pitcher in that game, Ryan Garcia, is phenomenal. He's going to be a major league pitcher, and yet Michigan managed to hang with him, and Carl Kauffman threw a phenomenal game, and then they brought Criswell in the ninth to seal that. And when they won that game, I thought, you know, they have a legit shot, and the other two games were also obviously extremely close. Perhaps the highlight was Game 3 with Tommy Henry, who had been sick with flu.
And the pneumonia. Don't forget the pneumonia part of it, too. He had pneumonia, too.
Wow. Pneumonia. Yeah, he came out and just threw a phenomenal game in Game 3. And after we lost a heartbreaker in 2, 5, 4, and 12 innings, game that Michigan certainly could have won. They had some fairly uncharacteristic fielding mistakes that cost them that game. But Michigan's pitching was great, and I think they have a chance in the College World Series because they have something probably nobody really has, which is three very solid starting pitchers in Kauffman, Criswell, and Henry. Michigan bullpen can be a little erratic. They lose. They don't always throw strikes. I mean, they have ability, but control evaporates. But this is a really good team.
Yeah, no, the setup. To talk about the pitching part of it, the setup works really well for a team like Michigan where you have really good starting pitching and maybe you're not always confident because now you play Saturday, then you play Monday, and if you win Monday and you're in the winner's bracket, you don't play until Friday.
Yes.
So you could, by playing Saturday and Monday, and even your third game is Wednesday, that means your three starting pitchers can pitch over those two games.
Exactly.
And plus they use bullpen session work and stuff and just do it out on the field like they do with Criswell out of relief and stuff like that.
And this is really the key to College Baseball World Series, like getting in the winner's bracket. Get it. I mean, no matter what your pitching is essential because if you lose that first game and you have to fight your way through that loser's bracket, it just depletes your pitching. And it doesn't, you know, unless you have absurd depth on your staff, it's really, really hard. So, I think that's the key to kind of following the College World Series if you've never done it before.
Yeah, you have to get the starting pitching and you have to get starting pitching is like goalie in hockey. If you get a hot goalie and you're running to the NCAA championship, you can win. If you get great pitching, it's the same kind of thing. I don't know about you guys, But that performance, and Craig brought it up, but that Tommy Henry performance, he has the flu, he has pneumonia, he'd been in the hospital. He even was trying to get in the game on Saturday. He was in the hospital that day. And he was trying to get healthy. And Eric Backage called it the gutsiest performance he has ever seen. And, you know, from him, and it might be, I was trying to figure out, you know, back in the annals of watching, you know, sports at any level, what would be on par with having the flu and pneumonia and going out and pitching seven phenomenal innings and helping lead your team to the first College World Series in, you know, since 1984.
I'm sure it's happened with other people.
But when the first thought is like Michael Jordan, you know,
But Michael Jordan had the flu. He had the gambling bug from the night before, and he stayed up all night at a casino. So it's not exactly the same.
I know, but that's when you think of flu game.
I know, even though it wasn't the flu, but you think of Michael Jordan. That's true. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
it was pretty good. So, Ed, numbers. Baseball, college baseball has analytics.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was kind of worried that I'd have to go run the numbers myself this week, and then that absolutely didn't happen. But it's actually a pretty good lesson in sports analytics. So you can go, and Ken Massey has a site where he looks at a bunch of different college baseball ratings out there. So everything from polls to RPI to other things. And you can kind of use the first lesson of analytics, which is if it doesn't use margin of victory in games, you throw it out, and it's not really predictive. And that pretty much leaves two. Ken Massey does his own rankings. And there's a guy that runs Dr. Entropy, which is college football rankings that I respect, and I presume he's doing it in the same way. So if you look at those two numbers, you know, Michigan is 17th and the lowest College World Series team in the Massey rankings. They're 30th, but 6th out of 8 teams in Dr. So, you know, they're definitely not
below them. Florida State and
Auburn.
Oh, and Auburn, okay.
So, you know, Vandy is number one in every single poll that you looked at, so they're definitely going to be the favorite. The betting markets also support that as well. And you know, the next team is going to be Mississippi State. The odds actually have Arkansas as a co-favorite with Vanderbilt in this tournament. I don't know what kind of situations kind of push that. Arkansas would be the third best team by the numbers. Texas Tech is fourth.
I wonder if that has to do with the fact that they're the highest. Arkansas would be the highest of the ranked of those rankings that you're talking about in bracket one. Because of the two separate double elimination brackets to get to the championship series.
Right,
because the first two teams you mentioned, are both on the other side.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know if it has something to do with I'm guessing. Yeah.
I mean, there's obvious strength in the SEC. I mean, with weather and the money they can put into those programs, they're pretty good. I mean, Auburn sneaking in as well. You know, Michigan's on, looking up, but they've already beaten Texas Tech. Massey actually will publish.
No, they didn't beat Texas Tech. They beat UCLA. They lost three games down to Texas Tech. They played them. They lost all three. Oh. The first two games were not very pretty. The third game was closer. But Texas Tech has these crazy Texas weather at their stadium and a great home field. The neutral side will definitely be a benefit of that. But they lost all three right before Big Ten play started. Okay. Whatever you were March 20th or whatever the dates were for that game is a lot different than you are now, you know, so the progress of the team. But, yeah, they lost to them all three times down there.
So Massey actually publishes win probability, so they have about 44%. And I don't know if that considers pitching or not. I mean, it's obviously the easier thing to just look at two team numbers and pump out a probability without accounting for who's starting. But that's what he's got. So, you know, certainly not. I mean, no team's out of this. It's baseball.
What is success for that? I mean, at this point, the season is a great success. There's no question. You go to the first College World Series for your program since 84, just the second of the Big Ten since 84. It's already a success. But what is now at the College World Series? Is just being there a success? And if they win a game, you're like, great. If they win two or more, you're like, oh my goodness, this is awesome.
You'd like to see them win a game, I guess.
But we don't put any over expectations on them, do we, at this point?
No, we don't. We want them to win the whole thing and then immediately secede.
And have a Craig Ross.
And I knew this was gonna we'd get Craig to that Ross because league. This is, you know, for the just the second time since 84, Craig, there, you know, a Northern team is actually there. It is so difficult. A lot of it is your recruiting base of where you are and how much you have to travel early part of the year and all the different things that we've talked about. Does this change your viewpoint at all on your thoughts on how the college baseball schedule should be?
No, this is the second big. I mean, the Big Ten is a better baseball conference than a lot of other conferences in the North and the Northeast. And yet, this is the second time in 35 years that a Big Ten team has made the World Series. And so, it's the game is rigged. And I don't think those schools should really put up with it. Awesome. I mean, if this was a winter game, great. But it's not. Baseball's a summer game, and they're playing it in the winter. And so it makes no sense. And you can see, for people who watch these games, you should realize how great baseball and college baseball in particular can be. Those were three phenomenal games against UCLA. I mean, every pitch mattered. And so to me, it remains depressing. I know Bill Martin agreed with me. Nobody else seems to. But the I haven't changed my mind. In terms of success, Michigan just being there, to me, is incredible that they were able to do this, given the sort of disabilities or the disadvantages teams in the Midwest have.
So, I mean, but Craig, don't you think, I mean, this is obviously an important step in kind of building this program, right? From what I understand, there was five guys drafted off this team, and
yep.
It seems like Bakic is doing a good job getting talent here despite the weather inconveniences. So, you know, I mean, you follow this team. Like, are we going to continue to see this, continue to make the tournament and start making these runs, given what the trajectory is?
Well, you know, that's another question. I mean, I think the answer to that is maybe. I mean, Bakic, I don't know what his salary is. I don't know how competitive Michigan is with him. But the Florida State job is open. And it wouldn't stun me if he's, you know, a primary contender for that job. I know that what Bakic faces is incredibly difficult to recruit and bring. I mean, who wants to come and play baseball in the snow? And so what teams in the Midwest face is quite daunting. Now, I can tell you this because I spent some time with it last night. I looked at their recruiting class for 2019 and 2020. It's a lot more like hockey than other sports, but it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did lose. They have 13 kids coming in next year. They lost a guy from Kansas City, Marcus Smith, who went high in the draft to Oakland and went in the third round, and he signed a contract. But otherwise, it seems like they've got a five-star guy from California, an outfielder and shortstop, Damon Hale. And they've got the best player in Michigan, a phenomenal pitcher, throws over 90 already, Colin Chakowski, who would have been a high draft pick this year, except that he couldn't come to financial arrangements with teams. So they'll have Chakowski and Hale coming in next year, a good catcher from St. Louis, Jimmy Overtop. Velasquez, who's on the football team, was a top 100 baseball player. I suspect he'll play some baseball. Blomgren, our shortstop, who's really good. His brother from Wisconsin's coming in. And they've got a couple of other good pitching prospects. He really has recruited quite remarkably. And I don't know, all of a sudden, college baseball has been a very white game. And all of a sudden, you're seeing minorities in college baseball. I'm not sure what's happened, if there's more. My understanding is there's only 11 and a quarter scholarships, which makes it very, very difficult, particularly for out-of-state students. But maybe something has changed. I mean, it would be a great question for Bakic, but I do know that that's changing, and especially particularly at Michigan, so it's nice to see.
Yeah, they're going to get, they had a pitcher that came in this year that had to redshirt because he got hurt. Ben Dragani redshirted this year because he had Tommy John surgery. Criswell's only a sophomore, so he's definitely coming back. So, yeah, there's also the roster has guys that are coming back to play as well. They're going to lose Jordan Brewer, we assume, to go pro as he was a pick.
Yeah,
assume he leaves. I don't know what the decision's going to be about Kaufman and Henry. They were drafted, but they can't come back for their senior years. So we'll have to see what that decision looks like for the team. But there's a lot of talent coming back, so there's no reason why they can't keep competing. But this is also a team that if they don't come from behind against Illinois in the sixth inning of the Big Ten tournament and they lose that game, their season ended.
They were the third to last team in. If they don't beat Illinois and then beat Maryland and Nebraska to get to the second game against Nebraska in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, their season's probably over. So, you know, it was a very close call at the end, but now you see where they are. And so, yeah, I expect them to be competing for Big Ten spots every year, a Big Ten tournament spot, and a Big Ten championships every year, and also for to get into the NCAA tournament. So, it's exciting to talk baseball, and I actually have a few more questions about the baseball team to throw at Craig, so we'll get to that on this side of the break. This is the MGO Blog Roundtable on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket. Welcome back inside the MDN studio, Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, online at WTK.com for the MGO Blog Roundtable. Ed is here. Brian is here. Craig is on the phone. And Craig, I wanted to throw a couple more questions at you. Really, it's one question more about the baseball program. Jokingly, I was going to ask you about the Dick Leach's team that won the World Series in the 50s and what your memories of that team was. But I won't even ask you about the team that Jimmy Kerr's grandfather played on in the 60s that won the College World Series. But do you remember those 80s teams? Did you go see the Larkin, Sabo teams, Kamenicki, and all those guys?
Yeah, I did go see those teams as a matter of routine, and it was pretty remarkable to see Chris Sabo and Barry Larkin and the first baseman
Hal Morris
also played, and they all played at Cincinnati in the major league.
Yep.
They also had Scott Kamenicki, who pitched in the major leagues, I think was on those teams. Those were some pretty phenomenal teams back in those days, though. You know, Eastern Michigan had phenomenal teams. They had Bob Welsh, who pitched for many years with the Dodgers, was a great pitcher, and a guy who was considered better at the time, I think his name was Bob Ochinco, who was a better prospect than Welch in college, and they also had a guy who played in the major leagues who was a shortstop on that team, but I'm blocking. So Eastern had phenomenal teams, and Michigan had phenomenal teams back, back in those periods. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I'll tell you, as the weather got hot over at Fisher, the old Fisher, that place was packed. Some days it's hard to find a seat.
That's what they were talking about a little bit on when we had the alumni guys on yesterday from the early 80s. They said the 2 years they went to the World Series, one of the years they actually played at Central in a regional to go to the World Series. Mm-hmm. And then one of the years was here at the Fish, and they were standing room only. It was like 10,000 people. Right. They had people standing in trees watching the game so they could see it. I would have loved to have seen that.
So, I mean, weather was an issue back then too, right? So.
Yeah, well, he said when the weather got nicer.
But weather was an issue in terms of recruiting and getting good teams. So what's different?
I'm sorry, I missed it, Ed.
Yeah, what, well, yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't
why
know. I don't,
somebody, if there was a regional in Central Michigan, I guess that's not too out of there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's changed over the last 30, 40 years that has made it that it seems like it's harder for Northern baseball now than it did 30 years ago. Is really what your question
maybe,
is.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. But or maybe it's not, and maybe that was just a golden age. And
well, I mean, maybe it needs to be mentioned. You know, Michigan also went on probation in baseball because the Michigan baseball team was selling programs at football games, and some of that money ended up, at least this is what the NCAA found, but some of that money ended up in the pockets of some of those baseball players. And
this is late 80s, 90s?
I don't know. I'm blocking on the exact time. It was probably late 80s. That's about right. Okay. So I can't promise you that program over those periods of time was completely honest. And so that might have had something to do with it. It might have just been pure random luck over that period of time. I don't know. I do know that the Midwestern team should be allowed to compete, and a way to compete is play the game in the summer. And so in any event, you know, you guys were talking about who the favorite in this might be, but, you know, I sort of lean to Texas Tech. I mean, at least in the Michigan pod, they got seven big hitters. They got two guys with powers. They got a first round draft pick, Josh Jung, who went, I think, number 8 in the first round. I mean, they got some boppers. They killed us 3 times down in Texas. I mean, those games, the first 2 games, as I pointed out, weren't even close. I don't think their starting pitching is super, but they have two good starters. You know, the if we would get by Texas Tech, or even if not, I mean, I like Michigan's shots against Arkansas and FSU. Have some FSU has bullpen problems. Arkansas has only one really, really solid starter. Arkansas hits the ball, but Florida State really doesn't. So I think the best team in the pot. And Arkansas and FSU were, like, with Michigan, I think, right at the last entries into the field. So,
wait, Arkansas?
No, Arkansas hosted.
Mm-hmm. No, Arkansas.
Arkansas hosted earlier. Yeah, Arkansas hosted. Florida State's an unseeded team. Yeah. They had to win on the road, okay. But Arkansas hosted.
Okay, I'm wrong about Arkansas then. But I think our chances, especially with our pitching depth against as it goes along against Arkansas and FSU, either one is pretty good. Texas A&M, off of our prior results, you'd have to say that's a tough one.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Game starts 2:00 on Saturday, and hopefully in the winner's bracket, meaning they play Monday at 7:00. The loser's game, the elimination game, is Monday at 2:00. And as Ed said, it is the road to go is much more difficult if you end up in the loser's bracket, especially on day one. Not impossible, but a tough, tough, tough road to hoe. We're going to shift gears here, get a few other topics on the show here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. And forgot to ask Brian about this as we opened up the show earlier in the hour. Remind the listeners and the fans about the your Kickstarter that's about to wrap up.
Oh, yeah. So Hail the Victors Kickstarter, I think it ends the 20th. We've already hit our mark, but if you want to get in and order it immediately, you can do that, and we would appreciate it if you do.
The book is, I will say, it's a great summer reading. Because you want to kind of get ready as we're, 79 days away into the season. And once you get the book in your hand, it's obviously a little bit closer than that. But you want to really get your feet wet and thinking about Michigan football. And, of course, you could do the depth chart stuff that you guys do. But you always have a lot of great feature articles in there to evergreen-type feature articles that people can read just about any time, even if you can't get to it before the start of the season. Yeah, Give us an article or two that people wrote for you that are a little out of the ordinary or a little bit different.
Well, Seth is writing an article on Gattis and what he's going to bring to the offense. And then Craig has something. Was it 1893, Craig?
What did I do this year? Yeah, it's one of the seasons in the mid-1890s.
Michigan's
1893
first.
Sounds right.
Has he ever written about anything from the 1900s or the 2000s in the magazine?
Well, we tell him to write what he knows. So
So he goes back into
his he only remembers stuff from his teens. Yeah. Then, you know, there you go.
When he was in the prime of life.
So with the Cliff Notes version, Craig, of give us some hints as to what we'll be reading in your article.
Well, Seth did a nice job editing it, and it's about how the game began to transition from teams that were just run by students to teams where the university finally started jumping in and saying, maybe we should have some control over this. And so it's about that. This is a part of a larger book that I've completed that tries to deal with some of the what was going on with football at the same time, a very strange construct called muscular Christianity, which was a way to sort of convince people that men were still really in power and not women, which was true, of course, but there was some sort of lurking consciousness in the male Americans that maybe just being stronger didn't mean much. And so this was going on at the same time as the women's suffrage movement and science. So the sort of beginning of the science age, and this book weaves these things together. And a little bit of the article, this article also talks about how the society was changing and the role that football had in this society. So,
I was hoping it was going to be an article like Trotsky is a Michigan fan or something, but maybe next year.
I know this for a fact that he was a Michigan fan, but that's another conversation for another time.
So MGO blog, just go to the website and
it's on our sidebar and we'll link it repeatedly in the next couple days, but it's on the sidebar. So
go to MGO blog. You can be a part of the Kickstarter. It is a great publication. I read it every year before the start of the Michigan football season. Do not miss it because your friends will read it and then you'll be dumber than them because they will have read it and you will have not. So there's your advertising slogan.
It's kind of a threat, but we'll go with it.
Why not?
No, it's better than the Craig plug for...
Yeah, books. Craig doesn't even say content. Craig says don't read it. At least we're saying read it, right? At least we're recommending to read it and to buy it. So we're taking steps in the right direction. All right, Brian, Craig, and I will come back on the side of the break and wrap up this Thursday edition of the Michigan Insider and this MGO Blog Roundtable here on the on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. One final segment with the crew here, the MGO Blog Roundtable here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket, online at WTK.com. So I was reading an article yesterday from Dennis Dodd, and he said that there were at least six NCAA programs, major programs, that are going to be receiving notice of allegations stemming from the federal investigation. And that it sounds like from the people within the NCAA office that they might actually, they're claiming anyway, that they would be bringing the hammer down on somebody or somebody's. And the programs generally mentioned, obviously, Kansas, Arizona, Louisville, LSU, Auburn, USC, Oklahoma State, some of the ones that he mentioned in the article.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they were mentioned in one of the, they were implicated somewhere along the way in the investigation. Dennis Dodd mentioned them in the article, so I threw them into my notes. So the question is, do we get our hopes up? Do we become Charlie Brown with the NCAA being loosey pulling the football away? Or are they actually going to do something here?
This is kind of a put up or shut up, I guess. So if they were ever going to do something serious, this would be the time. And really, I'm watching what happens with Louisville, because Louisville is already on probation and they have... Like, they were just so blatant about it. Like, you got to figure that if anyone's really going to get the hammer, it's Louisville. And what I'd like to see them do is I would like them to see them, like, take away all of Louisville scholarships for 10 years and then give one extra scholarship to the highest 13 teams in APR. So you're not actually depriving anyone of an education.
Oh, because you're not taking away scholarship chances from right. Right. I get what you're saying.
So, but like just,
and then you're giving it to the schools that graduate their athletes.
Yeah. So yeah.
Michigan, for example.
So you can like they can have walk-ons for the next decade, and then we'll see how they do with them.
That would be pretty cool. I just Will Wade's implicated, and Bill Self's implicated, and Sean Miller's implicated. What does that actually mean? I have no idea.
It means nothing if these guys have their jobs. I mean, that's
they have them right now, but in six months or a year from now, as the next part of this process, because the NCAA did say we're going to wait until the investigation was over. They told the feds they were going to wait. Craig, do you have hope that this is actually going to have any dent at all into college basketball?
You know, I have no idea. It wouldn't strike me as strange, given the NCAA, that they do something like give Louisville a three scholarship penalty over 3 years and a 1 year ban from the NCAA tournament, which to me is just, a hand slap. I mean, we are actually right now, Michigan's only got 10 scholarships. So that's, nothing. And, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm skeptical the NCAA will ever do anything. They might clobber SMU. But will they go after basketball powers like Kansas, Arizona, Louisville? I am skeptical that they'll do much that has much that's meaningful that'll, will change anything but business as usual.
I brought up the analogy when Gary Williams got to Maryland, they had just gotten hammered by the NCAA. Well, they were in the process of being investigated, and nothing to this level of what had happened. They had some allegations, and they definitely committed some things. But they actually received a 1 year TV ban and 2 year postseason ban and some other things, and it crushed the program. And I was thinking about it in the context of Louisville, because Brian, you brought up Louisville and how you should take all their scholarships away and how, because they're already on probation and they should just be hammered more. I completely agree with you. I don't know if it would be to that extreme, because you're not going to, the ACC would fight it because of TV and whatever, and you know how money controls everything. But I would not be surprised at all if at the end of the 2019-2020 season, if Chris Mack is looking for a new job, if he wants to get out, if Louisville gets hammered. Because when Gary got there, he had this press conference where he was exasperated because it was not supposed to be as bad, the penalties and the punishment was not supposed to be as bad as what came down. And when Chris Mack got the job at Louisville, he came in on the heels of the brothel stuff, and he knew what that was, and that was all laid out. Now you add on new stuff that he has obviously nothing to do with. And that would, in itself, even if they just took away, you know, a couple of years, put him on probation, took a year, a few years of postseason away, that would could hurt the program just by taking away maybe the one really good coach that they could get their hands on at the time.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA is at a bifurcation point. They can either hammer these schools, which they have FBI evidence of major rules violations, and they can take stuff away for a decade or a half a decade and, like, actually impose some serious penalties that will affect the course of these programs, or it's open season. Those are your two options. Like, if you hand out, like, 1 year bans from the postseason, that's open season, because Louisville got advantages for a decade or more, and they're going to make that trade every time.
Another school that was mentioned in there, USC, on a bigger point, is there a bigger cesspool of an athletic department? Maybe take Louisville out of the conversation. I mean, they're in the pay-for-play scandal. They have multiple basketball scandals over the years. O.J. Mayo had one at one point in time. Obviously, we know about Tony Bland. We know about football, Reggie Bush, and other things. There may not be... Hayden never cared. It seems like Swan does not care. Like, this is... I've never seen... Especially a school, a private school that is a top 25 academic institution. I've never seen a school care so little about how rogue their athletics... Yeah, they're top 25 academic nationally. Really? Yeah, they're a good academic school. I've never seen a school be so... That claim to care about academics and other things be so rogue and uncaring about anything rules-wise.
I mean, to me, there's a difference between not caring about the NCAA's amateurism rules and other stuff. Like, Baylor's far worse. I would say Florida State is far worse, because when the Jameis Winston thing happened, they didn't care. They just closed ranks around him. And they just reorganized their athletic department to dodge FOIA. Like, what was going on? And I put Michigan State as far worse than USC. I mean, Michigan State has a pattern where if you are committing sexual assault against a fellow Michigan State student, they do not care. And that goes far beyond Larry Nassar. I mean, they just had a guy who was Larry Nassar's boss get convicted. And they have articles in the New York Times about how Michigan State's like, no, you shouldn't report this.
Yeah, that Simon actually knew more than she let on.
And also the woman who just came forward and is like, three Michigan State players raped me and Michigan State didn't want to do anything about it. And so they have to go to the media. So I you know, USC is obviously a clown show right now, but like the stuff that they're in is really kind of the kiddie end of the pool.
So separating the conversation, what I don't say real versus NCAA, you know, but real life stuff versus the rules that the NCAA put in place.
Like,
I can say this. Yeah, I get that part of it.
So what happened at USC? Some people got some money to play sports that they weren't supposed to have. Okay. That's, I guess, you know, that bothers me a little bit, because I think that if there are these rules, people should either play by them or change them, and I want them to change them. But, you know, it doesn't really compare to Baylor, FSU, Michigan State.
Good point, yeah. And Baylor. Did you mention that Art Briles just got a job?
Yeah.
As a high school coach.
There is an article in the Dallas Morning News, like, what could this high school have done when they were what more could they have done when they were considering hiring Art Briles? And I was like, Google his name and click on anything? Literally anything that pops up?
Remember, I believe it was actually in Texas as well that Dave Bliss became a high school coach years later after his incident, too.
Really?
He was a dean of something or other in a high school. Oh, yeah, he got another job coaching people. Like, I wouldn't let him be, like, my, like, kid's middle school coach. Nevertheless, you know, a high school or a college coach again, but he got a job again.
The old boys network.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing thing. So, guys, I'm guessing that for at least a little while, the roundtable will slow down. Ed's got he's going to be gone for a little while. So, what's going on for the rest of the summer? What do you got big plans, Ed?
Oh, yeah, taking a couple of vacations and then cranking away at football. Well, actually, I have been cranking away at football.
Yeah, if you haven't started cranking away for football yet, you're way behind, right?
Well, I mean, I'm way ahead in some ways and I'm way behind in other ways. So, but yeah, a lot of work in football yet to come, and looking forward to sharing it all in August.
What is the most exciting thing you want to hear when we get, 79 days? So over the next 79 days, what's the number one thing you want to hear about Michigan football coming out of the building? What do you want people to be saying?
The offensive line is continuing to improve.
All right, that's a good one. Brian, what's your any big summer plans for you and the fam?
No.
That's exciting. So over the next 79 days, what do you want to hear? What's the number one thing you want to hear coming out of Schembechler Hall?
Jalen Mayfield is killing it.
Two offensive line in a row. There you go.
Are you agreeing? You're kind of agreeing. That's weird.
No, just because, like, Jalen Mayfield is in a competition with a guy a year older than him. who has a couple of starts. So, like, if he is able to blow past him and kind of establish himself, like, then you're looking at Michigan's next, like, real NFL tackle. And I think that's pretty important. The other thing is I want to hear that Mike Mumford is healthy and can defend the run now. Like, that's, like, his superpower is, like,
all right. A 1A and a 1B. Craig, what do you about you? Hawaii for the summer?
Yeah, I'm editing my friend from Ann Arbor, who's a novelist, John Rowe, has edited my book, and I'll be editing that and trying to get it over to Seth. So
and everyone should read it when it comes out.
Whatever. What I'd like to hear from Schembechler is that the young guys at corner and linebacker are making strides. To me, that's my primary worry for the coming year.
I'm glad that basically the final word from the roundtable is Craig being his typical utmost salesman. You are the best seller I've ever met, Craig. There's no question about it.
The man's honest, at least.
Yeah, as phenomenal sales job. So we appreciate your honesty and your salesmanship. And everybody I speak from, but for Sam, I speak for Miz, I speak for the listeners. We all appreciate you guys coming in here and volunteering to come in every Thursday from the beginning of fall camp, essentially, through whenever we wrap it up. And it went a little later than normal this year with a basketball coaching change happening the way that it did. And the excitement over the baseball team, that was a fun conversation to have. So keep up the great work with what you guys do in the offseason. And I'm sure we'll be back before actually August, because something's going to happen that we're all going to want to get together and have a conversation. So yeah. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, thank you, fellas. Craig, enjoy Hawaii, and we'll see you guys. And before we get out of here, one quick call. Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, wrap us up, please.
I am freaking pumped out. We are 79 freaking days till the start of the Michigan football season, till you're at the corner of the stadium and Main and stuff. The Bud Light Victor Lounge will be there. And I want to say good job to the Mills going in. I enjoy listening to both you and Sam every day. And I just want to say I think we're going to shock the world in football and basketball and win the national championship. One game, one play, one moment at a time. I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue. Win or lose, I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue.
Jake, thank you for your passion as always. Great way to wrap up the show. Miz, thank you very much, my man.
Yep, let's go get
some
sleep.
Somehow we survived this one.
Let's go get some sleep.
Time to get a nap in. And we'll see everybody tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
Better than